Blog Talk Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4. She's got a smile that it seems to me reminds me of childhood memories, where everything was as fresh as a bright blue sky.
All right, Tommy, you're the oldest. I'm counting on you. Come on.
She's got eyes.
And welcome back to the 7 Sean Sports Radio Show. It's just Sean here today. So, you know, sometimes when you're by yourself and you have all these tools at your disposal, you kind of just wing it and you see what you can play with. And one of them was that song that happened to be on the dashboard of Blog Talk Radio, BlackSportsPage.com. And I was like, you know what? What does this sound like? And here we are. It's Tweet Child of Mine. Not really Guns N' Roses. Not really Sheryl Crow, who should have never really sampled that and redid it anyway. Just Tweet Child of Mine. Anyway, so welcome back. Another exciting week. It's just me this week. And if you have a moment, you'd like to spare a couple of moments and give us a call. 760-283-0846. And the funny thing is, I said that it would be pretty much open mic night tonight because it's just me. So if you have anything to say, anything at all, and you want to talk about it, 760-283-0846. The funny thing is, isn't it really always open mic night at the 7 Sean Sports Radio Show? I mean, last week we talked a lot about the Hall of Fame. This week we'll continue on that path, talking a little bit more about baseball. I'm going to try and keep my voice for an entire hour. I got a feeling I'm only going 30 minutes, but that really depends on who calls in. Because if somebody calls in and keeps me engaged for 20 minutes, I'm good to go for the full hour. So this is on you, the listeners, and those that are on the podcast. Well, thank you for listening, but you're not really a help to me right now. So anyway, so what's happening in sports world today? Well, in college football, we had probably one of the most exciting plays to end a college game in history in the Iron Bowl. In the NBA, we have the Knicks and the Nets playing this week on Friday, the local flavor. And you question whether at the beginning of the season you were like, oh, great, that'll be fantastic. It'll be probably the number 5 seed versus either number 4 or number 6 seed in the East, and it'll be a good game. And now my buddy Rick Maltese has seeds to 2 teams that have 3 wins each. Yeah, Rick, that was some birthday gift that somebody gave you, and at the time I thought it was going to be something good. Now you're pretty much SOL. I talked to you today. I understand you weren't too happy with it, but it's just the way it is, right? And the worst part is neither one of these teams as a first-round pick this year. The Nets gave it up, I believe, in the Joe Johnson trade, and the Knicks gave it up in the Carmelo Anthony trade, so the Nuggets right now would probably have the 5th or 6th pick in the draft if the lottery went that way. So we're going to keep going down on this path because this is what disturbs me about the Knicks. And I've been a loyal Knicks fan, I think since I was 3, maybe 4. And the Knicks have always been one of those reactionary teams. They're kind of like, I would say they're like the Yankees under George Steinbrenner. And Jim Dolan and George Steinbrenner have that in common, in which they're reactionary. But I think even the Knicks are worse. And part of the reason is because of the dreaded salary cap. So let me take you back to February 2010. And I was in Jamaica, which I wish I was today. I was on vacation. I wasn't paying attention to anything that was going on with sports. Yes, it does happen. I was having a great time. And I walk up to the bar because I needed a drink. And along at the bottom, this is All-Star Weekend, along the bottom of the scroll, it says, Carmelo Anthony has been traded to the Knicks for Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Timo Mozgov, two firsts and two seconds, and there was somebody else in the deal. I looked at the person I was with, my girlfriend at the time, and I said, they gave up too much. Not only did they give up too much, but I was pissed off. I was happy that Carmelo, being a Syracuse guy, was coming back to New York. I was very happy about that. However, at the time, and I said, he was going to come to New York anyway. He was riding out his free agency. The Knicks were going nowhere that year. And instead of waiting and doing the prudent thing, they decided to, let's throw everything at the Nuggets and make sure that they can't say no. So let's give them two firsts. Let's give them a second. Let's give them these three players. You know what? Carmelo's a good player. He's not a great player. He's a good player. He's a great offensive player. My co-host Seth Kamen says it all the time. Great scorer. Not a great player. And for years I said, you know what, Carmelo has the desire, he'll get there. He's not going to get there. He is what he is. In the Dennis Green saga of we are who we say we are. We are who they say we are. Well, that's what Carmelo is. He's a great scorer. The rest of the team is just dysfunctional. And now, thank God for the Ted Spencer rule back in the 80s. And for those that don't know what that is, in the 80s, the Cleveland Cavaliers traded every first-round pick that they possibly could to gain players. And none of those trades worked out. So at the time, David Stern instituted a rule in which he said, you cannot trade back-to-back first-round picks. So while the Knicks do not have a pick in this year's draft, they do have one next year. They do not have one in 2016. They do have one in 2017. But, of course, this is the draft that everybody wants players because this is the best draft probably in the last 30 years. And, of course, the Knicks traded away their pick. And even worse, they're completely capped out. They don't have any tradable commodities. The only tradable commodity is Iman Shumpert and Tim Hardaway Jr., but he's a rookie, so you're not going to trade him. You have Amari Stoudemire for $20 million more this year and next year. You have Melo, who's going to be a free agent after this year, and if they re-sign him, he's going to want a ton of money, probably $24, $25 million. Tyson Chandler, who hasn't played, I mean, granted, he's been injured, but, man, J.R. Smith with $7 million on the cap. This team is capped out in financial hell, salary hell in the NBA. And nothing to come. And it's hard being a Knicks fan. At least with the Nets, you have the notion that they're old, and they're capped out too, but this is a new team. So they'll come back. They'll make a run, especially in the playoffs. This team has talent. It's maybe old talent, but it's still talent. With the Knicks, you have no such luck. You really don't. You have nothing whatsoever to look forward to as a Knicks fan. So Rick Maltez, happy birthday, buddy. You get to go see this game at the Barclays Center, which is a beautiful stadium. But that's all that game's got going for it right now. So have fun. Happy birthday. Oh, boy. All right. So 10 minutes down, 50 minutes to go. Not a bad rant for the first 10 minutes, if I do say so myself. And I have a feeling I'll be ranting a lot because Sean Palmer is a fan of the Mets, the Jets, the Knicks, the Islanders. And now, the fifth team, Billy Joel. And if you haven't heard why I say the fifth team is Billy Joel, Billy Joel has decided that he will play, he made an announcement today, a record-breaking announcement, supposedly, that he will continually play every month a show at Madison Square Garden until the fans don't want to see him anymore. Now, my question is, are all these seats going to be at $79 or above? And that's probably true. And whether the man is bankrupt, because holy cow, how many shows can you show? How many shows can you be in? But the thing is, if you listen to him, he's like, I don't have to travel anywhere. I don't have to do any road shows. I can go home and sleep in my own bed. Yeah, it's pretty much a great show for him. So right now there's the show sold out in February and March, and I believe the show in April is sold out. The show in May is May 9th. My birthday is May 3rd, so I am going to treat myself to a present and get myself some tickets to the May 9th show. That's the present that I'm going to give myself on my 38th birthday. So for any of the listeners that would like to come along with me, let me know. You can find us at SethAndSeanSports@gmail.com, at Seth and Sean on Twitter, or the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show on Facebook. And like I said before, if you'd like to call in, 760-283-0846, the new franchise of New York, 1 William Joel. Seems rather interesting, but if you're a Long Island kid, like I am, and you're not a Billy Joel fan, there is something incredibly wrong with you. So the fact is, Long Islanders can't agree on the Islanders and Rangers. They can't agree on the Yankees and Mets. They can't really agree on the Knicks or anything. They can't agree on the Giants and Jets, but they can all agree on Billy Joel. So I don't see any reason why this guy cannot sell out for a very long period of time. I definitely think he'll sell out May. I'd be interested in seeing how many times he can sell out until he'll stop doing this. But he does say he wants to play different songs than he normally does, and maybe some classical stuff. So it'll be interesting. Definitely an interesting concept. So, should I take my first glass of water now, or should I wait a little bit? I'm clicking a pen because I'm pacing in the apartment, the abode to Sean Palmer on the Upper West Side. And I'm pacing back and forth because this is what I do when I'm frustrated with my teams. And the next frustration, the next rant, goes to the New York Jets and one Geno Smith. Geno, I have defended you ad nauseum. I have said that it is your personnel. I have said that you are a rookie and you deserve more time. I have said that these are rookie mistakes. You probably shouldn't have been in there to begin with because they didn't draft you in the second round for you to play right away. They knew that you were raw. They knew that you were going to need some time. And yet, when Mark Sanchez went down, they had nobody else. It was you or Matt Sims. After this, the last 3 weeks, being Buffalo, Baltimore, and this week, I'm forgetting even who we played. Oh, Miami. And that's why, because that was Geno, 4-for-10. 4-for-10, baby. Now, this week coming up, Geno is back on the horse. Or so Rex Ryan says he's back on the horse. And he's going to go and face the Raiders at MetLife Stadium. And that should be interesting because the Raiders have the defense that everybody knows that they had a player on, like Tracy Porter. Oh, he's on the Raiders. Yeah, he's on the Raiders. So one more game for Geno. Now, at this point, do we fully believe, we being me, fully believe that the Jets need to draft another quarterback? Yes. I said this from the very beginning. I really think that they should draft a quarterback. Not in the first round, though, and not in the second round, maybe in the third round. I would love to see them, and I think I vocalized this last week, I would love to see them get Aaron Murray in the sixth round and wait around for him. But they need to bring in a veteran. They need to bring in another quarterback. because the last 3 weeks have been three of the worst weeks of me watching this team. I have just been astonished at how bad they are. Really, how utterly bad this team has become. So, everybody knows that I want Marquise Lee with the first round pick. I still do. And the thing is about the Jets is that, again, they're probably going to win six games, maybe seven. They're at five now. If they win six games or seven games, you know they're not in that top three. That's going to be Houston or Jacksonville, maybe the Raiders. So they're being just good enough that they don't get that dominant player. But in some ways, I'm kind of glad. They won't pull the trigger on a quarterback at like 13 or 14. Even if Johnny Manziel's there, I hope that they do not pull the trigger. They won't have the temptation to take Jadarius Clowney, because the one thing that the Jets do not need, they do not need more interior linemen on the defense. On the offense, they do, but not on the defense. So, interesting, the draft, I believe, is the first week in May, after what I hope is a snowstorm Super Bowl in New York. And we'll see just what happens. So speaking of quarterbacks, and speaking of quarterbacks coming out or not coming out, obviously Johnny Manziel going to come out, Teddy Bridgewater from Louisville, probably the number one pick in the draft. But we had a surprise today in which a quarterback decided not to come out. So Mariota from Oregon decides not to come out. He's going to bypass the draft. I wonder if he would have come out if Oregon hadn't lost the game and he was going to be probably the number one pick. But he is going to bypass the draft and return for his junior season. Good for him. He says, and I quote, "It is an honor to be a student at the University of Oregon and to have the opportunity to represent our institution on the football field alongside my teammates. I look forward to earning my degree next year and the rest of my career at this great university." And granted, he should receive considerable buzz and be amongst the quarterbacks that will be looking towards the Heisman next year. And I wonder if he had won the Heisman this year, like I said before, whether he would be bypassing the draft or going full tilt. I have a feeling he probably would have gone full tilt because he probably would have been the first pick in the draft. And as we see with players that turn down that number one status, Matt Barkley, it's not necessarily a given, or Matt Leinart, it's not necessarily a given that they will reclaim that status the following year. So, good luck to Mariota. I hope he does well in Oregon. I mean, the system is perfect for him. The question is whether they can do it next year, or will he suffer the same financial consequences as a Matt Barkley, who dropped to the fourth round. First pick in the fourth round. So the question is whether this will pay off for him. If he wins the Heisman next year, it does. But we shall see. Did it pay off for Johnny Manziel? Johnny Manziel couldn't come out. Jadarius Clowney couldn't come out. These players couldn't come out. But obviously for Matt Leinart and Matt Barkley, both USC guys, it did not pay off at all. We're about 20 minutes in. 760-283-0846 if you'd like to ring-a-ding-ding me, because I'm by myself tonight. It's the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show. Mine is Seth Kamens tonight. It is 20 after the hour, and we're going to take a two-minute break here so I can go get a glass of water. So we're going to play a little bit of music. Again, touching on the fact that I can play with this stuff.
I'm popular and poppin' dope, breakfast at Papa Do's, dodging all obstacles, trapping at the stop and go. Boy, you know you lame if you still ride stop and go. Dissect the beat and then I turn into a particle. Pardon though, I'm hardened though. You should read the articles, I'm riding high and dodging.
dodging hoes, you better hope I'm dodging yours. Marta hoe, dollar hoe, white looking Madonna hoe, Dole, Shaker, Bonner, Ferragamo, and I'm Prada hoe. College hoes, zone three, niggas with a lot of gold, Snoop got the dough. I just love being by the stove, here's some food for thought, a little food for your soul, I'm like a comma. I love being right next to O's.
I had a long day. My nerve ain't. Smoking on loud, I know you heard that. Hit the jury store, with $100,000. I can't help it, I'm addicted to the rubber band. Need a trap house, with $100,000. I can't help it, I'm addicted to the rubber band. It's time to re up, I got $100,000. I can't help it, I'm addicted to the rubber band.
We sit high speaking like we superhuman beings. Cause mulatto, black on black European. Too hard to swallow, like Eugene Kingston. Number one thesis, do you believe in Jesus? They say money is the root of all diseases. Call the doctor, I see honest in my thesis. Summer vacation, one trip, three bricks. Baby mama say I'm impatient, my sons need shit. When you pull up at the front, all you see is whip. Diddy bop to the back, all you see is zip. That Ziploc in garbage bag. Usher Raymond in this game, bitch, I got it bad.
I had a long day. My nerve bad. Yeah, I'm smoking on loud, I know you heard that. Hit the jury store, with $100,000. I can't help it, I'm addicted to the rubber band. Need a trap house, with $100,000. I can't help it, I'm addicted to the rubber band. It's time to re-up, I got $100,000. I can't help it, I'm addicted to the rubber band.
My blood need me, but he greedy. I ran off, told him, catch me on the TV. See, I'm from where you rob Pete or the PayPal. I'm yelling, fuck the world, I woke up with my dick card. Big dog, big bros, all in my circumference. Pussy on lockdown, I don't handcuff now. Sipping Grey Goose and we spinning Mad Duckin'. Rumble band fed, that shit get it in a bun. Ben Franklin back to back, hun.
And we're back here, 37 minutes left in the show. Once again, if you'd like to call in, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846, or find us on Facebook at Seth and Sean Sports, Sports Radio, Seth and Sean Sports Radio. So an interesting day in college football, as we had talked about Mariota not going out. And it's not even an interesting day, it's an interesting week, because we had one of the greatest plays to end a game I've ever seen. And that was in the Iron Bowl. And granted, I watched the Iron Bowl on replay, and that was only after Seth texted me and said, did you see that? And I was like, no, I didn't. I was busy eating too much leftovers. I'd like to thank the Chris Velos and Robin Bluestein for their hospitable demeanor this past week. I hope I can repay them when they come down to the Big Apple. They hosted myself, and I hope that they were gracious hosts, and I hope I was a gracious visitor as well. But anyway, I was busy hooking up a Wii instead of watching the Iron Bowl or watching Ohio State, Michigan. I didn't really watch any college football on Friday or Saturday, and I have to tell you, I missed a lot. So a great play in the Iron Bowl. The question is that the greatest play ever? Is it the greatest play to end the game ever? Is it the greatest play in college football ever? And I don't have really any thoughts on that. I mean, I think when you compare, well, I do have thoughts, but I don't have really an answer for you. It's a subjective question. I'm sure our esteemed guest at times, Mbappe Isles, has his own thoughts on this. And I'm sure I'll get that response in probably in an hour, maybe tomorrow, as to what Senor Isles thinks of the ending. But it does set up an interesting finale. So Ohio State is going to go play Michigan State next week in the Big Ten Championship. And Auburn is going to go play Missouri in the SEC Championship. And then you have Duke. Yes, those Dukies with David Cutcliffe as their coach go and play Florida State in the ACC championship. So let's assume, for argument's sake, that Florida State wins their game. And I would purport to think that they probably will. But let's say that they will. So they're in the finals, in the BCS finals, the last BCS finals game. Thank the Lord. And then we have Missouri against Auburn. Let's say Auburn wins. So Auburn has beaten the number one team in the nation in Alabama. They have now beaten the number five or six team in Missouri. They've only lost one game. And they are riding as hot a streak as you can possibly do. Then you have Ohio State. Ohio State hasn't lost a game this year. Let's say they beat Michigan State. So they haven't lost a game. But the two highest teams that they have played, and they've won, but the two highest teams they have played have been Michigan at 24 and Michigan State now at 10. Do they really deserve to go to the championship game over Auburn? And I know what Seth's feeling is on this, but you can't do that to Ohio State because Ohio State won every game. Okay, I can buy that. Then with that thought in mind, Northern Illinois and Fresno State lost. So Northern Illinois should go to the finals as well. They didn't, and the competition, while I do understand that the competition in the Big Ten is a little bit better than the competition in Northern Illinois Conference, it's really not that much difference, at least not to me. And I think there is a shot. It's a slim shot, but I think that there is a shot that if Auburn beats the crap out of Missouri and Ohio State sneaks by Michigan State, that you will see Auburn jump Ohio State. Now, it's funny because everybody believes, or it is the common belief, I won't say everybody, it's the common belief, that next year this problem will not come forth because there will be the playoff. Woo, the playoff. The playoff is four teams. So you have one versus four, two versus three, and then the next week they play, supposedly the winners of the two games. Now my question is, if you have 5 1-loss teams, let's even go this year. So you have, let's say everything just holds true that I just said. So you obviously have Ohio State makes it now, right, into the playoff. You obviously have Auburn making it into the playoff. And then you have Florida State making it into it. That's three. Then you have a bunch of one-loss teams. And we have the same problem we do today. And I can hear all the people in the background saying, well, you have the same thing in the NCAA tournament, number 65, number 66, you always have that problem. Who gets put in? Who gets left out? Please. You're comparing? If you can't be in the top 64 teams, that's okay for me. That's like saying everybody gets a certificate at the end of the day for participating. No. If you're in the top 64 teams, you're in the top 64 teams. I don't want to hear an argument from the 65th team that they should have been in. Well, if you should have been in, you should have played like a top 30 team and guaranteed yourself it. This is the top four. So you're basically a limit. So if you have 6 1-loss teams, and 3 undefeateds, good luck telling any of the other one-loss teams that they're not going to play. I think we're just headed in for more of this crap. And the only way that this – I think you open Pandora's box by having this playoff. I have never been in favor of a playoff. I have been on record by saying I have never been in favor of a playoff. I don't think it accomplishes anything. When you only have four teams, it would accomplish something if you had 16. because then you the same thing applies. When the 17th team says, why didn't I get in, then you say, okay, well, you shouldn't have had three losses. You should have only had two. I can go with that. I have a really hard time with four teams. I've said this numerous times. Okay, so from the gridiron to the hard court. Well, tonight, actually, I think the game just started. I'm going to look at my phone and see if it just started. I believe it did. Hold on. We're going to look at this. So we're going to go off there. The game has just tipped. Syracuse and Alabama. And I'm already getting updates from the person that I bet with. Now, my friend Brian Garvey, I work with him, and Tim Richards, both of them, have graciously agreed to donate to the Sean Palmer Foundation a very nice bottle of rum if Syracuse wins tonight by more than 6.5 points. And what they don't know, or they haven't really watched any of the games, is that Indiana can't shoot the basketball. So it's possible for them to lose by a lot more. This game is being played in the dome. And to Mr. Garvey, I will count on my rum being shipped either to my apartment or to the office. Right now, the score is 10-4 in favor of Syracuse. And we're playing at home, and we are 7-0 this year. So Syracuse, the number 14 in the country, Indiana unranked. But the Big Ten ACC Classic, good games tonight. I mean, we go down the roster. So the 7 o'clock game is Syracuse, obviously, at home against Michigan. Then you have Syracuse at home against Indiana. At 9:15 on ESPN is Duke at home against Michigan. At 9:15 on ESPN2, Notre Dame is at Iowa. And then tomorrow there is more of this. Hold on. No, you have Pittsburgh tonight, 7:30, so just tipping off, against Penn State at home. Minnesota is playing Florida State, Minnesota at home. And then tomorrow we have more of these great games. North Carolina at Michigan State, number one Michigan State. So that's a 9 o'clock tip-off. Maryland goes to Ohio State at 7. And Wisconsin is at Virginia at 7. And there should be one other game, which isn't really all that good. Here we go. Northwestern is at NC State. And that is and Boston College. Boston College is at Purdue, and Miami is at Nebraska. So that's the two-day ACC Big Ten Challenge. Some really good games. And I'll keep you abreast of tonight's games as we go forth. We have 27 minutes left in the show. 760-283-0846. My voice is getting a little tired, a little raspy. So I'd really love if somebody would just call in. But we're going to try and make it the whole way. It's been a good show so far. I've been able to rail on a whole lot of things. And the next thing I get to rail on is the New York Islanders, which is my hometown team. I was a season ticket holder for the New York Islanders for a very long period of time, at least my grandparents were, 20 years. Saw an abundance of playoff games with the likes of John Tinelli, Bobby Nystrom, Gord Lane, yes, Gord Lane, Clark Gillies, Dennis Potvin, Mike Bossy, Brian Trottier, Billy Smith, Rolly Melanson, Chico Resch, Butch Goring, Dave Lewis, Billy Harris, Andres Collar, Thomas Johnson, Dave Langevin, Steve Tambellini. I'm trying to think of how many. Billy Carroll. I think I probably named just about every. Oh, Stephen Pearson. I named Langevin, all right. Langevin got traded to Minnesota. I don't remember. Oh, Bobby Bourne. Love Bobby Bourne. One of my favorite players. Pat LaFontaine, Dwayne Sutter, Brent Sutter. Some great players, some great teams. And last year, led by John Tavares, JT, they made it to the playoffs. And every Islander fan was like, yes, gotten to the point where we can be proud of our team again. Well, that was great for then. And this year, not so good. Not so good at all, actually. In fact, it was horrendous. Because this year, they, I believe, are in last place in the Metropolitan Division. Yes, they are. They are 8-15-4 for 20 points. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. They are 5-6-4 at home, 3-9-0 away. They have only scored 72 goals and given up 93. They have lost their last six. This is awful team. They have 8 wins in 27 games. This is awful. I mean, absolutely awful. And it starts with the goaltending. The one place where the Islanders could have improved this offseason, and Garth Snow, instead of improving, decided, we're going to take a shot and keep you, Nabokov. As it turns out, the Islanders are winning 2-0 versus the Penguins right now, but as we all know, as Islander fans, they seem to get through two periods and then really lose it. 4:36 left in the first, they're up 2-0. I wonder who scored. I'm sure it was JT because he's the only guy on this team that does score. Let's see. No, Oposo scored both. Assisted by JT. Now, of course, the Islanders, in their infinite wisdom, just the same, took a page out of the Knicks and went for it this year. So we're going to trade our first-round pick, Matt Molson, who is one of our starting right wingers, and our second-round pick, and we're going to go for it all and go for Thomas Vanek. And Vanek is a good player. Don't get me wrong. I was very happy with the acquisition of Thomas Vanek. What I was not happy with was giving up the picks because this team needs a goalie. And instead of getting Vanek, they should have gone out and gotten Ryan Miller. And that would have solidified the goalie position because Molson is a good player. He's not a Thomas Vanek. He doesn't have that skill set. But he's a pretty damn good player. And now they are at a loss. A lot of losses. They only have 8 wins. I mean, it's just very, very hard to watch this team. And I'm an Islander fan through and through, so I'm going to keep watching. But it really, from the heights that we were at last year, where the Islanders almost took it to the Penguins. I think they lost in 6 games, but they almost took it to the Penguins. And basically, the reason that they lost was bad goaltending. And now, let's go get a score, not upgrade the goaltending, and see if we can do it again. And as every Islander fan knows, we are not doing it this year. We're just not. So, I think it's time for another break. It's 21 minutes left in the show. We're going to try and make it the whole way. If you'd like to call in after we come back, 760-283-0846. That's 760-283-0846. It's a hodgepodge here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball because we need to. A little bit more about the NFL. Baseball, for some reason, today was like trading day. Everybody got traded in the last 24 hours. We'll touch upon the last of my teams that I've yet to rant on, and that being the New York Mets. Talk about Robbie Cano and your calls, or I hope one of you calls, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. I'm going to take another drink of water, and I will be back in 2 minutes.
What distance can
back. 17 minutes left in the show. 17 minutes left in the show. If you'd like to give us a call, 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. For those checking in at home, Syracuse is now up 16-10. 16-10 with, how much time? 8:21 left in the first half. From what I understand, Syracuse jumped out to a 7-0 lead, and Tom Crean called the timeout. They were 0-5 from the field and 0-3 from three-point range. So can anybody hit a shot? Right now, I believe they are 2-4 from the field. 2-for-12 from the field. So not exactly a stellar performance from those Indiana Hoosiers right now. No, they're actually worse than that. Hold on. 1-for-3. They are 3-for-15. So, yeah, not really all that great. 1-for-6 from the three-point line. The Orange are 2-for-5 from the 3, 6-for-18. But the number is 6.5. That's the point spread that myself and Brian Garvey had agreed on, 6.5. Right now it's 6 with 8:10 left in the first half. After this, I will be happily going downstairs to get on the elliptical machine and watch the second half, and hopefully the Orange will pick up the pace and blow them. It's interesting for a guy that does a sports radio show and also a guy that loves sports, and I do. I mean, there's no doubt. Everybody that knows me knows that sports is a big part of my life. I listen to games on the radio, when I'm driving anywhere. I actually time my trip so I can listen to it. So I listened to the Pats game on the way home this past weekend and then switched over to the Jets game and wish I could have switched back to the Pats game because the Jets game was that bad. I don't have cable in my apartment. I moved in about 30 days, 35 days ago. And I'm looking at my 55-inch TV that is sitting in front of me right now while I sit on the couch. And it's still in cellophane. It still has a blanket over it. It's basically just a piece of furniture right now. And one may wonder why I do that. And those that have seen me in the last couple of months know that I've been on a pretty strict diet and more trying to make it a way of my life in which I don't snack and I eat pretty healthy foods and I drink a lot of water. And downstairs in the gym where I live, there's a TV and there's an elliptical machine and there's a bunch of weights. It's more like a hotel gym than anything else. And anytime I really want to watch a game, I have to go downstairs, get on the elliptical, and do some exercise. And it's a great way that I have found to get myself motivated to do this. I didn't think I was going to enjoy not having a TV. And there are still days that I wish I did. Like right now, I wish I had the game on while I was doing this show. But at the end of the day, it's not that bad. I think, though, it's worse not having internet these days, and that I have through my phone, which most of us do. But it's very interesting not having cable. I get to sleep better. I wake up better. I get myself out of the apartment a little bit more. I go meet people. Even if it's to watch the game, I'm more social because of this. It's just an interesting dynamic, and it's something that a couple of my friends have tried. They're not big sports fans, so they're like, well, we have Netflix, and we have Hulu, and we can use that. Is cable really, or the TV? If you can hook up the internet to TV, and you can watch games through the internet, is cable dying? I don't think it's dying right now, because I don't think the broadband is there, but I mean, you got guys like me, granted I am going downstairs to watch the game, but if I had internet, I'd probably just stream the internet to my TV. So, just something to ruminate about, something to think about. We got about 10 minutes left in the show, 12 minutes actually. Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show. Next week, we'll have a Heisman Trophy winner Is it next week or the week after? No, next week we'll do our Heisman predictions. Next week are the baseball winter meetings. And speaking of winter meetings, we had a lot of deals go down today. I'll go through them in a second. So we have a lot of good things coming up. We have bowl games to be announced next week after the Big Ten Championship, after the ACC and SEC Championships. And you know my feelings on that. I'm actually going to pick Michigan State to beat Ohio State. And that will make this all for naught. I'm picking Auburn to beat Missouri, although I think it would be interesting if Missouri beat Auburn. I am picking Auburn to beat Missouri, and I am picking Florida State to absolutely crush Duke. It's been a great season for David Cutcliffe and the Dukies. When your football team is almost as well-known, and I say almost as well-known as your basketball team, and your name is Duke, you've done a pretty good job. David Cutcliffe definitely gets the Coach of the Year, no doubt. If he doesn't get Coach of the Year, something's wrong with the system. Not that there's anything that's right with the college football system to begin with. So next week we'll start talking about that, start talking about bowl games, bowl predictions, NFL playoffs. Now that the Jets are out, the Giants are probably out as well, with Philadelphia and Dallas both winning their games this week. And the Giants, although they won, they're still pretty far back in the standings, especially in the wild card. Seattle blowing out New Orleans last night, which was fantastic. And I think it's incredible each time that there is a new sound record that is broken, the Seattle faithful to say, you know what, that wasn't loud, we're going to make it louder. Last night they made it as loud, I believe they said, as a Richter scale of 2 for an earthquake. And that just screams ridiculousness or redonkulousness. Either way, great win by Seattle. So back to the baseball. Winter meetings starting next week, but we did have some major deals in the last 24 hours. A.J. Pierzynski, pretty much the hothead that played in Texas before he played in Chicago. Before that, he was a Minnesota Twin. He moves over to Boston to take the place of Jared Saltalamacchia. Jared Saltalamacchia moves from there to the Marlins, Pierzynski got a 1-year, $8 million deal, a little bit high on the salary, but for 1 year, who cares? Jared Saltalamacchia moves to Miami, where he gets a 3-year, $21 million contract, of which you will probably only see 1 year in Miami, because that team tends to trade their guys, so we'll see if that stands. The Orioles make an interesting deal in trading Jim Johnson, their closer. He goes over to Oakland to replace Grant Balfour. He gets $10 million. The trade is for Jamel Weeks, who is the younger brother of Richie Weeks. And the thing is, the rumor is that they were looking so hard to give Johnson away that they basically just traded him for scraps. And that's what it looks like. The Mets in the last week signed Chris Young, not the pitcher. We had him last year, or 2 years ago. Now we get the outfielder who bats 230. Gave him $8 million. And this is my rant on the Mets. You knew there was one left, guys. You knew that there was one team left of my teams, and that was the Mets. Guys, what are you doing? You finally got some financial wherewithal. You finally got rid of Johan Santana's contract. You finally got rid of Jason Bay and some of his contract. You had $40 million coming off their salaries, and they spend 20% of it, 20% on a guy that's not going to bat 230. This screams idiocy. Now, could I be wrong? Could this be a Shane Victorino type thing where they sign him to a 1-year, $8 million contract, and he comes through? Look, Chris Young has tools. He's a great fielding center fielder. Unfortunately, the Mets have the best fielding center fielder in baseball outside of Mike Trout in Lagares. So Young moves to right, where he is less valuable. He still bats 230. He does have 20-20 potential, 20 stolen bases. He's got some speed, but come on. This is the type of signing that you want to get Mets fans interested in? This is the type of signing you want to bring back the fans? The tickets are still going to be $7 a pop. This team is not interesting. And I understand you want to probably save money if you're Sandy Alderson till 2015, when Zach Wheeler is 1 year older. Matt Harvey is back from the dreaded TJ. But you got to play for today. Don't play for tomorrow. I don't want Jacoby Ellsbury at $20 million. I don't, if I'm a Mets fan. But I want him at $20 million if you're going to give Chris Young $8 million. I think Ellsbury is a better sign at $20 million than Young is at $8 million. He's not that good. Go get me Doug Fister for the crap that they gave away, that Detroit had to give, or Detroit got. Steve Lombardozzi, a solid, middling back-end starting prospect in Robbie Ray. You would have had that. Man, Fister would look great. And guess what? Fister earns $8 million. Unbelievable that the four sports teams, and I guess Billy Joel is now a fifth sports team, but the four sports teams that I root for give you so much stress. So much stress. 5 minutes left in the show. Last 5 minutes. First, I got to give you a score update. It doesn't look like it's changed. Oh, there we go. Syracuse is up 23-18, 23-20. A three-pointer just went in. A two-pointer for Indiana. That is not good for me and my bet. And if I lose the bet, then I have to buy Mr. Garvey a very big bottle of beer, which I will have shipped out to him in Chicago. 5 minutes left, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. So, Thanksgiving last week, I posted a bunch of things on our Facebook page, which I highly encourage you to go see. A lot of stories of players that go out of their way. One, a New Jersey player, high school player, who takes care of his mother who has multiple sclerosis every single day. Heartwarming story. I feel compelled to put these on there because there's a lot on the internet, and there's a lot of garbage on the internet, but there are a lot of really, really good stories on the internet too. And I hope you as our fans will look at those stories and appreciate what you have. I don't always do that. I'm always looking for tomorrow. I'm looking for what's better in my life, what I could improve upon. But in the last week, I have come to appreciate a lot. I still have most of my family around. They're not here. They're not visible. But they're around. They're a phone call away. I have some really, really great friends. Friends that care about me. Friends that invite me to their place when I have no place to go. And I am incredibly thankful for those people. I may not tell them that every day, but it's absolutely true. And I'm thankful for sports. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to come into your lives through either the podcast or live, because it enables me to have an hour of absolute enjoyment. And this hour has been really long. I trust that nobody would like to talk or hear me for a full hour, and I'm sure you've cut in and out. But I'm going strong with 2 minutes left. So the last piece that I'll have, as I always do, I always talk about one thing at the end of the show, and it's one thing that you should take away. And that one thing that I will do this time to take away is that in this time of holidays, giving, give a little bit. If you see a homeless man, buy him a drink. Not an alcoholic drink. Buy him a glass of something. Buy him some food. If you're a homeless woman, buy her some food. My brother, who I love very much, my older brother, heard me posted something the other day, and this is why I love my older brother, because there are times where I can't stand what he does, but there are times that he absolutely amazes me. And he went into a fast food restaurant, came out with the equivalent of like chicken McNuggets, and he took his nuggets and he saw that there was a homeless man there and gave him nuggets. Just gave it to him. Then he went back in to the store and himself some more nuggets because, hell, he was hungry. He told the owner what he did. The owner gave him some free nuggets. So he went out and he gave them back to the homeless guy. More nuggets. Mitch, you inspire me to be better. You have such a good heart, and I love you so very much. And I can't wait to come back out to Arizona and see everybody. Okay, 36 seconds left. I made it the whole way, 1 hour of the show. I would say for Seth Kamens, but he's not here. So for myself, me, myself, and I, Sean Palmer, Seth and Sean Sports Radio on Facebook, backsportspage.com. It's been a blessing. It's been a privilege to come into your homes tonight. I hope you have a very nice night, and we'll see you back next week with Seth here as well. Good night, everybody.